Welcome to In the Weeds, a Mindscape podcast. Hey there, welcome to episode 8 of season 3 of the In the Weeds podcast. I'm Pete Brand, Mindscape CEO and co-founder, and I'm joined by
Amy, senior designer,
and
Matt, senior developer.
Wow, and I don't have Jeff here to work alongside me today, and I get to talk to these two brilliant minds of Mindscape. Today we're going to be talking about something called ADA compliance in website or in web design. For those of you that don't know what ADA compliance means, it was actually an act that was created for it's called the Americans with Disabilities Act. And within this, when you think about Americans with Disabilities Act, you think about, you know, maybe ramps or sidewalks, you know, when you're trying to cross the street and you see the little indentations or bumps, so it notifies people that they're actually there if they can't see. So there's a number of different things that you have to pay attention to in the physical world, but in the digital world you do as well. And a lot of the things that we have to look at are the two different areas we really have to focus on as we're addressing this are design, but there's also some technical elements, and that's why we have our guests with us here today. So again, this is In the Weeds, so we're going to go fairly deep in three different areas. And the first one I'm going to kick over to you, Matt, and basically, what is the Americans with Disabilities Act? And you can give me I know I kind of gave a high-level overview, but if you want to give me the very technical description, that would be very helpful.
Well, the Americans with Disability Act, it's an act created that prohibits discrimination against anybody on the web who has physical or mental impairments that substantially limit major life activities, such as like walking, sitting, reading, seeing, and communicating. Some of these impairments could just be hearing impaired, colorblind, prone to seizures. So when you're on your website, you don't want to come across something that's gonna be all flashy and animated that could cause someone to seize out. Or if people can't read, then you have to be able to have content on your website that's able to be read by screen readers, so it can be read to them out loud. And same with colorblind, you don't want two colors that when they stack up against each other with text, you can't read because people can't decipher different colors.
Right. No, that, I mean, it sounds to me like it's a pretty reasonable act to not limit people's ability to communicate and all these different things. But I never actually thought about that from a digital perspective, because we always hear about it in the terms of physical. So what reasons, why would you say, like, I don't know, top reasons why you think it's most important, Matt?
For one, if you're trying to sell things online and part of your customer base are impaired, then you're preventing yourself from gaining that kind of revenue from those people. And also, you have a chance of being sued if you don't have your website accessible to everybody out there.
Really? Have you ever come across a client before that had been threatened with a lawsuit or actually sued?
We've had several come to us that weren't our clients previously with getting things in the mail or email saying that lawyers are reaching out. Usually there's like a grace period, you can fix it all, which then we've been hired to go through and fix it for those clients and everything smoothed out. But yeah, none have been sued that I know of, but yeah.
Okay. Are there any particular industries where that's happened more often than others?
Colleges, anything financial related, and healthcare related, I know. And what was the other one? Like e-commerce, and mostly e-commerce too.
Okay. No, and that's great, especially when you think about, you know, education or healthcare, or what was the other one that you mentioned?
Financial.
Oh, financial, yeah. I mean, those are all three things that everybody is going to have to deal with, and it's very critical information, whether it's from a learning perspective, whether it's your own health stuff. So I can see why those would be very important. And plus, when I look at it, you know, all of us that have businesses or organizations, whether we're communicating a message as a nonprofit organization or trying to further a cause, you know, or an organization that's simply out there trying to make some money, I don't see why anybody would want to cut off a segment of the population that you want to market to. So yeah, I can see, obviously it's a very important thing, and there's a lot of ramifications that could come based on not following it, and especially when it starts to hit you in the pocketbook from a lawsuit perspective. So as I mentioned, there's a couple different sides of the coin that we have to look at when we're looking at it from a technical perspective or from a digital perspective. And the first one is there's different components that we have to pay attention to based on the design. So Amy, I'm going to kick it over to you. And if you could let us know what are some of the things that you have to pay attention to as you're designing with the ADA Act in mind.
Okay, so there's a few different things I can touch on. One of them, the first one that Matt already mentioned, would be the contrast. And that is things like the font color on a white background. Some people with low vision might not be able to read a light gray text on a white background. So you have to make sure that it passes the correct ratio for the font color against that. So always remember, just keep, it should be high contrast colors so that everybody can see and read that. Another one is don't use the color as the only means of conveying the information. So that an example of that would be is if someone is filling out a form field and there's error and success indicators when they submit the form field. So maybe they forgot to fill out a couple fields, it highlights in red. Someone with color blindness wouldn't be able to see the difference between the red and green fields.
Ah,
so
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so what we would do in that case is we'd add a text indicator or an icon or something additional to just the color so that they know, you know, maybe it's a little exclamation point so they know that that's the error field and that's the one they need to go back to.
Okay. You know, it's funny when you talk about that, Amy, because there's a lot of the time, even when we're doing e-commerce evaluation for websites where someone will add something to a cart, and you can't even tell that you added something to your cart because there's nothing physical that happens on the site. And that would impact any human being on there at all. So I think it seems like a lot of the times people don't think about those little intricacies that are going to communicate to something. But in this case, I mean, even if you thought you accomplished it, but you used red ink or red color and it appeared as black, nobody would know anyway. So it's kind of the same thing.
Another thing to consider would be contrast with text over images. If you think about, you don't want the image background to be too busy because somebody won't be able to read the text over the top. You want to make sure that if it's white text, there's a dark background behind it or something so that everybody is able to read that no matter what images behind it, images or videos are behind that. Another one would be font choices. That's all about the readability. So choosing a font that's clear and easy to read, it's not too small, there's enough line spacing, that's really important as well. Another thing that Matt touched on would be the movement, to keep that to a minimum. People with seizures, there's guidelines that say that something can't flash more than 3 times because somebody could have a seizure from seeing that content.
So would that apply to these famous things that we see all the time, those sliders? Where you've got sliding images coming across, even with if they have movement within them?
I don't think small amounts of movement. I think it's a lot of more of the flashing
okay.
that goes along with it.
But people shouldn't use sliders anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah, because nobody goes to a homepage and sits there and waits for 6 different messages to scroll in front of them. Kind of a waste of time.
Yep.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you. That's interesting. I think the thing that was probably the most surprising to me was the contrast or the change in color from red to black and making something a little bit more noticeable that people can understand. So Matt, on the development side, there's obviously some elements that are going to be impacted or things that you have to pay attention to from a compliance act. What are those things?
For the big one is HTML semantics. Now there are tons and tons.
Hold on. HTML semantics sounds kind of confusing.
It's just basically, you know,
what is HTML?
Well, HTML is the markup language or basically the blueprint of your website. So
Okay.
It's just different tags where you kind of build the base or the foundation of what your website is. And then you would use CSS to style that blueprint.
Okay.
So when I say semantics, it's like HTML is just like any other language. There's certain things you use properly, just like the English language. So that's what I kind of mean by semantics. So there are tons and tons of HTML elements, such as like headers, paragraph tags, lists, and so on. And it's really easy with CSS to use the wrong tags, because with CSS you can make any HTML element look however you want it to look. But if you aren't using the proper HTML tag for the right job, then that's the main place where accessibility is broken, if it's not handled properly.
Okay.
If you're not using the right headers, like for screen readers, a screen reader can jump from each header to each header and read that out to you and kind of like build a table of contents for the user who is impaired when they're going through the site. So if you're using the wrong tabs for things, then they might be deciphering that content wrong and get lost while they're moving throughout your site.
Okay, yeah, sorry to freak out there a little bit, but you talked about having a strong command of the English language, and the word semantics is a little bit outside of my vocabulary because I don't have that strong of a command, so please continue.
That pretty much covers the semantics part. Another big thing is tabbing. Your entire website should be accessible through the tab key on your keyboard. That means every time you press tab, you start from the top left corner of your website and you move across like you're reading a book or a piece of paper. When you're tabbing through, you should have a clear focus state on every single link on the website, so people who are tabbing along can follow along where they are on the site. And you should also build a skip navigation functionality, which is also accessible through the tab function. It should be the first thing that when you press tab, that should be the very first item that pops up, is give the user the ability to skip the navigation so they're not going through hundreds and hundreds of links.
That seems like it could be very useful if I ever ended up in a situation where my mouse didn't work as well, right?
Yep.
Because there, I can think of at least two or three different times where my mouse broke, or the connection between my laptop mouse, and all of a sudden my computer is completely useless because the website I was trying to navigate, I couldn't navigate. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And then another big one is alt tags. You hear a lot about alt tags when you talk about SEO and the importance for that, but they're also more important for accessibility. And you use alt tags on images, of course, and they're more of like a descriptive text of what the image is. They're set appropriately based on what the image's context is. You want to be accurate when presenting in the text what that image is. You don't want to be redundant. You don't want to use the same exact phrases or alt tags for each image, and you don't want to get in the habit of using like image of this or graphic of this. Like, it needs to be like actual describing what it is, like man sitting on a desk teaching to students or something like that.
Okay, so, and I think a lot of people, you know, because I teach boot camps and stuff, and a lot of people when they're doing their SEO is they kind of manipulate alt tags for SEO benefit. Mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily looking at creating a good, smooth experience for the user who's there, right?
Correct.
So that's not a good thing to use it for manipulation's sake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then a big no-no, so that's pretty much alt tags, but a big no-no when it comes to ADA is autoplaying your videos. This is bad not only because it's frustrating, but it can be distressing for users with cognitive impairments, and it can impede on their ability to concentrate when reading the content that they're actually interested in. And it can also go into the whole the flashing and movement aspect of the design, where the video could cause a seizure or something along those lines. So when making videos, you want to also take in account the rule of no quick flashes within 1 second, or something. I believe 3 flashes within a second,
right,
is the limit. And with videos as well, you want to create real-time captions for those videos, so people who have hearing impairments can actually digest and read all the content that's being talked about in the videos and not miss out on anything.
I can see where that would probably be one of the things that a lot of marketers might want to kind of ignore. Because as a marketer, when someone gets to a landing page or gets the content that we create, they want that video to autoplay and not give people the option to do it. But I can see where, like, unknowingly, they could be creating some pretty huge problems. I mean, even beyond the problem of you're sitting there quietly in a meeting looking at something on your Facebook and you scroll up and a video starts blaring out or something like that. The embarrassment from that. But yeah, you certainly don't want to harm somebody else because, you know, you want to get your marketing message across. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
cool.
And like all of this, everything that I went through and what Amy has gone through, there's plugins out there. There's extensions on your browser that you can use to like test all this on your website. The one that I use is Wave Evaluation Tool. I think it's like the official tool almost, or one of those, the official tools by one of the organizations that create it all. But yeah, you install it to your browser, you go to your website, you pull it up, and it'll go through all your site. It'll give you errors and alerts, where to find them on the page. So you can fix them. It allows you to test your site with no style, so you can see if you can tab everything, or if everything is digestible to the person without any styles, just as a blank document. And you can actually check the contrast of your site colors, and it'll let you know which contrasts aren't within range.
Oh, it's great. Cool. Yeah, very cool. So you don't even have to like guess. No. There's a lot of stuff out there. And in fact, we'll make sure and have our producer, Rachel, put down in the notes section maybe some links to some different resources that you found really useful. So if you are listening to this, make sure you scroll down and gain access to those resources so you can see how your site's doing. Are there any tools out there that can actually measure, like where you can just go type in your domain and it tells you whether you're compliant or what areas you need to fix?
I haven't come across one that's like not paywalled.
Okay.
Like there's usually like something that you have to either pay for to give like a full diagnostic report or something like that. But I just use the plugin. It's the easiest one that I've come across.
All right. Great.
There's also tools you can use in the design phase. I use one called accessible-colors.com. And you can put what font you're using, what size, your foreground color, your background color, your font color, and it'll let you know if it passes compliance and if you need to change that or not. So you can do it before it gets into development. You can change out those colors so that they're ready to go. And this has come in handy with some of our clients where we're using their actual brand colors, but we have to adjust them slightly so that they do pass compliance.
Okay. Do you ever have much pushback if you have had to change their brand colors to where they're like angry because it's not within their brand style guide?
No, because it's compliance is usually important to them or something that they know they have to have.
Oh, good.
So they're happy that we catch that early.
Cool. So what you're saying is we have awesome clients that are very understanding and they care about their fellow human beings.
Right.
Perfect. Yep. That's all we accept. So if you don't care about your fellow human beings, I don't know. We'll probably still talk to you, but we might try to convince you otherwise. So, well, thank you guys very much. This is an interesting topic because I don't have a lot of knowledge on it. So I probably sounded as if I was struggling, but I feel like you guys have done a really good job of breaking it down for me and going into the weeds on three different areas like we do for all of our episodes. First things first, Matt explained to us what it is, what Americans with Disability Act compliance in web design is, why it's important. Amy talked to us about what the considerations that she has to pay attention to as she's designing to make sure that she's building or designing a compliant site. And then Matt jumped into the weeds on some of the technical aspects that he has to pay attention to, and both of them provided some really good resources that you'll be able to look at or use as you're evaluating how your own site's doing. So thank you guys very much. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. And to everybody else out there that's listening, be sure to check out our website at wearemindscape.com/in-the-weeds. You can also visit our social channels at the profile We Are Mindscape. And if you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the future, or have any comments or experiences of your own you'd like to share, please share them on the social profiles using the hashtag InTheWeedsPodcast. Or you can just go ahead and send us an email at intheweeds@wearemindscape.com, and we'll take your suggestions via that way. But thanks a lot for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next one.